B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Good man.
Alejandro, thanks for the call, bud. The steroid scandal was bad because you didn't want that as an inspiration for younger athletes that could be ruining their bodies by right. not knowing what they were doing and also putting a chemical in their body.
Yeah.
But just in terms of affecting the game and gamesmanship and sportsmanship, this is far worse. Because as they said, like, you want to talk about everybody cheating? Yeah, nobody's cheating to this degree. This is why it seems like just so dirty in sports, right? But when it comes to the steroid scandal, yeah, you want to talk about something that everybody was doing? Baseball all but I've talked to a couple of former baseball players that talked about having appointments scheduled through teams with the doctor, as I do the air quotes.
Mm-hmm. Vitamins.
Yeah. We all giggled.
Did you see the other MLB rumor that was out there yesterday?
What's that?
It has to do with Mike Trout and a loophole in the system. Now, this is another one of these things where it's, I got to find it, David, the son of a former coach.
Okay.
Has basically said that Mike Trout is prescribed HGH for a thyroid reason. This was another rumor that was taking off yesterday.
Oh, really? No, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not a good day for Major League Baseball on the rumor front.
Well, I'll just say this. If that's the case, then, like, Ritalin became legal in baseball. Well,
Carlos Ruiz.
It's like all you need is a doctor's note to say you can't pay attention.
That's why I was so mad at Chooch. Just go see a doctor, dude. Somebody will write you a script.
Well, I just remember when it happened with Chooch, I remember there was an article I think USA Today put out that was 17 players in Major League Baseball in 08 or whatever it was. 17 players were allowed to use Ritalin. The minute that it actually became fully legal with just a doctor's note, it was something like 280 players.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
It's Scott Brosius's son.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, I hope Yankee?
Yeah. So I hope every major league scandal that now happens from now on is the root of the you know, whistleblower is some obscure major leaguer's family member.
You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic WP in Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast.
Like, Nick Punto's nephew just dimed out the Yankees for cheating? Like, what? Punto?
I need that name relevant again. Nick Punto was at Chase Utley's thing, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Was he at Chase Utley?
Yep,
Chase
he sure
Utley,
was.
Or was it Pat Burrell?
I was sitting like in the Diamond Club that game, and Nick Punto walked out. I went, Nick Punto? Apparently he's like godfather to one of Chase's kids or something.
Yeah, when they introduced him.
I was like, what the hell?
Yeah. Eric Milton like, trade?
Yeah. Eric Milton.
I believe Eric Milton trade.
Apparently his neighbor's next door friends, nieces, brothers, coworkers said that Cody Bellinger injects steroids in his toe webs before every game.
In his toe webs.
Yeah. Can't see the marks.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's start the rumors now. You want to listen to 975 The Fanatic WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio only from Comcast. 7 o'clock hour brought to you by Univest Bank. Are you frustrated by escalating HR costs and legislative compliance? There's a simple solution. It's time for Univest Employee Benefits. Visit univest.net to set up your free benefits analysis today. I'm going to reintroduce this question. It is our Twitter poll today, and we got Ralph, we got Eric, we got Mike. We'll talk to you guys again. Got one talking about cheating and all that fun stuff. But I am curious today to see how many people want Ben Simmons to make an all-star team. At 9 o'clock today, we're going to be joined by Jack McCaffrey of the Delco Times, because right now, Ben Simmons is 8th in the all-star voting amongst guards. And Trey, as you pointed out to us earlier this morning, Ben Simmons has now started a little campaign.
Yes.
Putting out a tweet yesterday saying that he's the leader in steals in the NBA. Checkmark. 2020 All-Star? Types a question mark. Says vote counts as double today. Hit the link, and he put a link.
So, is this how all of the All-Stars for the NBA are being voted in? It's all fan base?
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah,
this is crazy.
So wait, coaches and players have no votes this
Taco
year?
Taco Fall was like your third leading center.
Okay, so
that's where you lose all credibility in letting the fans have an opinion.
I'm not saying this is losing credibility, but I'll just give this to you here. Okay, so here amongst the guards, here's the voting. Here's the top 10. Trae Young, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, Derrick Rose, Kyle Lowry, Zach LaVine, Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown is 7th. Ben Simmons is 8th. Bradley Beal is 9th. Fred Van Vliet is number 10. He made the top 10. He is less than 100,000 votes behind Ben Simmons. Nationwide voting, obviously. Ben Simmons is 8th. He would not be an all-star in this voting right here.
Yeah.
At 9 o'clock, we're going to have Jack McCaffrey on with us from the Delco Times. And Jack is the one that before the season, he was asking Ben Simmons about that jump shot. And Ben's response was, well, I'm an all-star, so basically implying who needs a jump shot when you're already an all-star. He said many times over during the course of that little media session that, yeah, he can shoot. Yeah, he can shoot a jumper, no problem. But he's an all-star, so why would he have to shoot a jumper if he's already so great that he's made an all-star team in his NBA career? So my hope is that the only thing that can really catch his attention and grab his attention, Ben Simmons that is not making an all-star team. Oh, I do need to refine my game a little bit more. I do need to take that next step forward because I'm not an all-star anymore. Look, is it possibly a reach? But it might be the only thing that really gets his attention because his coach sure as hell's not getting his attention anymore.
Exactly. His coach has come out in public and asked him to shoot and he won't do it. And as you alluded to earlier, Mark, tonight will be the 20th game since his coach came out and said, I'm asking his family, his agent, him, everybody who will listen, Ben, shoot at least 1-3 every game. And tonight will mark game number 20 should he choose not to do it.
We're going to just call it the 1-8. The 1-3 pointer and the 8 foul shots. The 1-8. 1-3 and 8 free throws.
So
hasn't done it once.
Yeah, I was saying to you earlier, comparing the Antetokounmpo numbers and Ben Simmons' number. So if he's going to, you know, try to match his offensive game against anybody, it should be to a degree. It should be Giannis Antetokounmpo. I really do believe that. He's not a very good outside shooter, yet he tries. Antetokounmpo shooting 61% from the free throw line this year. Ben's at 56%. Kind of similar, but Antetokounmpo's gone to the line 396 times. Ben Simmons, 182.
Wow.
I mean, different positions, yes, I understand it, but that's a huge disparity. 396 to 182.
Well, one's a 58% free throw shooter that's afraid to go to the line.
The other one's 65%.
Yeah. But he's not,
afraid. Right. Exactly. So that's where Ben has to elevate his game, too.
If I'm being real, I have to say this. I get the feeling that Ben Simmons is not as afraid as he used to look in going to the foul line.
No, not at all.
But I will say, he just, in the crunch moments, and when do we see him disappear in the second half? In the crunch moments, I don't think he wants anything to do with the free throw line. 610-632-0975. Ralph in South Jersey. Ralph, real quick, you a basketball fan?
Yeah, I am, and I only have one thing to say. Simmons all-star? No. And also, I'm tired of the whole Simmons thing. I'm out on it.
I got to be honest, Ralph, the only reason I'm bringing it up is because it seems like the only thing now that will catch his attention that his game needs to advance past what it is right now.
Well, you're 100% right, because I think the whole thing is Ben Simmons has always been the star. You know, he's been coddled, and he wants to be a highlight reel and doesn't want anything out there where he's failing at anything. Mm-hmm. So if he's not shooting, he's not missing, he looks good. That's the way he looks at it in his mind.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you, Ralph. Thanks for the call, man. Oh, what do you got on the cheating scandal?
Oh, this is just the tip of the iceberg. You guys are all too young, but this has been going on forever. And baseball always pushed to the side because of the baseball scandal involving the White Sox. But I can remember going back when everybody started wondering in the Pittsburgh World Series way back when, hey, where is their all-star reliever? Well, he wasn't in the bullpen. He's not on the bench. And it turned out he was up in the scoreboard with binoculars figuring out the opposing team's signal. And it was one of these, aw, shucks. But the one that was the most egregious and disgusting actually involved A-Rod. And when he was in Texas, one of his teammates figured out that he was tipping his own pitcher signals to opposing players. And he had a cadre of other players that were doing the same for him. And they had come to an agreement that if a game was, you know, had an X number of run differential in it, they would have their own numbers by tipping each other the signals.
Wow.
One of the other Texas Rangers finally caught on to it, confronted him about it, and was going to bring it, and A-Rod said, okay, I'll cut it out. Well, it got so bad that a couple other players in the Rangers clubhouse found out about it, and that their own pitchers did not know he was tipping their signals. And that's where a lot of this came around with A-Rod and his reputation.
Wow.
In the clubhouse. And he was eventually traded off to New York and allowed to sign that agreement. And everybody always wondered, well, why the hell did they let A-Rod go? Well, it was such a poison in the clubhouse that he had been doing this. And Sports Illustrated discovered this. He did a huge article on it, but he was such a scumbag to pad his stats. He was actually tipping his own pitcher's signal.
I had not seen that story. Anybody see that story?
No. It vaguely sounds familiar, but I remember
if
you go back in time.
Yeah,
you know, him doing steroids was one thing, but tipping his own pitcher signals was another deal altogether.
Ralph, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, that's insane.
Yeah, I just saw another tweet from Trevor Bauer who responded to the Alex Wood tweet. You know, saying I'd rather face a guy on steroids than anybody knowing where the pitches are.
Mm-hmm.
And Trevor Bauer said, yes, this, now and forever. It's so bad.
I think the phrase tip of the iceberg is going to get said throughout the morning.
Yeah.
And it's going to get said until, is this ever going to go away?
No, I think this, honestly, and not to sound drastic here, I think this just blew open the biggest cheating scandal in sports history.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Trey, sorry about Spygate, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? People say, why baseball? Why is it baseball when you go back, most of the cheating, baseball.
Easiest to cheat with.
The easiest, and you have the most time to do it.
Downtime, yeah.
Exactly.
You can't cheat in basketball because it's constant.
Mm-hmm. Right, and you have so much time to occupy. It's why I say, it's why baseball players have to chew seeds and spit and gum and tobacco, is because they have to keep, they have to do something. I really believe this. They have to do something to keep their mind going because you have so much downtime. I think cheating is prevalent a lot of times because they're constantly thinking, how can I make this more fun for myself? And cheating is one of those ways.
I have to make
themselves a better player.
Yeah, I'm bored. How do I cheat better?
I'm bored. How can I become a 300 hitter as opposed to a 280 hitter?
Well, here's the other part of it, and this is wild. We talk about coaching trees, especially in football. There's a cheating tree, which is what makes this, probably the worst scandal in all sports, in the history of sports. Because you have one manager going to another organization who gets slapped on the wrist, says, don't use your iWatch anymore, your Apple Watch. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay. And then they cheat anyway. And then you have him coming from an organization that won a World Series in 2017.
Right.
They went to another World Series. This is something that is just absolutely insane. And they also cost the Dodgers, a historic franchise, as much as I hate them, a historic franchise in baseball, another World Series. This is something that is just nothing short of incredible. And it's affecting multiple organizations. It's a coaching tree of cheating. And that's what Carlos Beltran has. That's why he's fallen off the tree now. Mm-hmm. Because it turns out, as the Mets, I think rightfully so, agreed to part ways with him. And the thing that his niece, Carlos Beltran's niece, is the one that supposedly put it out there about the buzzers.
Sorry, Tio.
I believe it would be Lo Siento to you. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Trey, is your brain awake?
Yes.
Because sometimes people have a problem with their brain falling asleep.
It happens.
And that was a problem in the Flyers game last night. We'll let you know what that means in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
So the Flyers did not play well last night. It was a 4-1 loss to the
Habitants.
No big deal.
They would have had the season sweep, I believe, if they...
They would have had a season sweep. There's a tough schedule for the Flyers as of late. They beat the Bruins. They beat the Blues out there in overtime in St. Louis. Came back home against the Habitants and lost 4-1. Alex Lyon made his first start in net. As we all know by now, our man, Carter Hart, missing another 2 weeks at least with a little, what was it, abdominal strain?
It's not Philadelphia if your stars aren't hurt, Mark.
No, are they young? Yep. Then they're hurt.
Yeah.
Are they young? Are they in Philly? They're hurt.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, he's going to be missing some time. Alex Lyon gets recalled, makes his first start of the season. Had 36 saves overall, but still, that's what you call getting peppered. And he certainly was peppered last night, and he allowed 4 goals, which is unfortunate. Now, the Flyers take the loss, but Alex Lyon, after the game, tried to explain... what had happened. And this is a rather puzzling explanation for Alex Lyon. Here's the Flyers netminder last night.
I felt pretty good. I would say in terms of comparison and how I felt in the past, I was significantly more at ease, so I felt good. I thought my brain fell asleep a little bit in the second there for about 5 minutes, and that was a real dagger. But good learning experience. Just going to try and build confidence and momentum going forward.
So his brain fell asleep, Trey.
Yeah, he lost focus.
He was awake, brain asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that works.
So he tried to further explain it.
Keep him above the goal, yeah. Right by the water bottle.
Yeah,
is that?
Yeah.
So there was a follow-up question here, Jamie, about like what how'd your brain fall asleep?
Yeah, Taron Hatcher was like, can you explain what you meant by that? And this is what he had to say.
Yeah, I think there's a five-minute stretch when they scored twice. And it's really a game of momentum and swings, and it's just a killer. Getting two goals back-to-back, and I just got to find a way to stop both or stop one. And that's when games are won and lost, is limiting those mistakes. And felt pretty good, but I just wish I could have had a little bit better focus on those.
But his brain fell asleep.
Yeah, probably shouldn't have said that.
That was different.
Yeah, I've heard of brain freeze. I've never heard of brain asleep.
Yeah.
Breaking concentration, maybe. Anything better than my brain fell asleep.
Yeah. And one of those goals, it was a tip-in where a Canadian got behind a Flyers defenseman. He had no shot on that. That's him just taking the fall for the team, it seems like. But brain freeze? Brain sleep?
That's a new one.
Yeah, that's different.
Maybe his teammates iced him before the second period. I don't know. Maybe. I've heard that stuff can happen in the professional world, as it's happened to us.
Yeah, it did.
Let's get to Eric in Richboro. Eric, what's going on, man?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, man.
I want to talk about the cheating scandal. I think this is a huge deal.
It really is.
In baseball, cheating is like always kind of been a thing. I actually have a good story about a cheat, like the way my high school team, we had a play where we cheated. But like reading signs, I remember I would always sit in the dugout and try to see if the catcher was putting the signs too low and trying to read them like in between his legs. Or I would always watch the third base coach. I played shortstop, so I was always right there watching the third base coach, seeing if I could pick up signs. That's all good. But once you put like cameras in it and buzzers,
yes,
that actually happen, like that is outside of the parameters of the okay cheating within the game kind of cheating.
Yeah, like if I could go through, Eric, like my progression of how I've felt about this Astros cheating scandal as information has come out, it started with, well, you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. And then it was, wait, no players are suspended? And now it's more of the level of, oh my God, this is like sinister. Like this like feels dark the way this kind of this thing is playing out right now.
Right. And with the buzzers, I don't see how players cannot get suspended for that.
Well, they're going to get suspended. There's going to be suspensions.
They have to find definite proof. Mm-hmm. I mean, it can't be like, oh, wait, look, there's a bulge in the left shoulder. That's not going to get it done.
Yeah, especially with the MLB players union.
Right.
At least it's not Tom McGinnis seeing a bulge in his pants,
Now, hold up. That's alleged. That's alleged.
It's all boner.
I'm just saying, we think that's what happened.
You said it, right, Chuck?
Yeah, it sounds like you said it.
Maybe that's why Terrence LeVert did not want his teammates to rip his pants off. I'm just saying.
With the bulge. This guy has got a boner.
Yeah, see, there it is. He's got it. And Tom McGinnis had to call it out.
Eric, my friend, do you want to go see Temple basketball?
What day?
It's Wednesday, the 22nd.
Unfortunately, I can't. Can I tell my cheating story really
quick? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So in high school, there's only two umpires. So if you have a man on second and third, what our thing was is you do a suicide squeeze, but the guy on second, as he's running towards third, once he gets like three quarters of the way, he just cuts across the grass down the third baseline, because the home plate umpire has to watch a play at the plate and the other umpire has to watch the play at first base. So if they throw it to first, that person who's running from second cuts across the grass and is basically right behind the other player. So you score two runs because nobody can watch that base.
See, that's just outside the box thinking.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, yeah.
That's amazing. First off, like, no one would... I would imagine you'd only be able to do one of those, right? Because the second time you think that the umpire would be looking.
Yeah, well, how many times you suicide squeeze in a game? So, yeah, well, when you do it five times in a season and it works, good on you.
I guess. Thanks for the call, brother. Appreciate it. Mike and KOP, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, man.
All right.
Hey, I just want to start off quoting a former governor who, Jesse the Body Ventura, who always said, win if you can, lose if you must, but always cheat. So, I mean, at this point, I don't care. Cheat, like, I'm even at the point where the 2004 Patriots, like, I'm just mad at our team for not trying to out-cheat them when they cheated us out of the Super Bowl.
Uh-huh.
You know, whatever you got to do to win, do it.
This is so far beyond that, though, Mike.
I don't even care. At this point, I want to see all my guys roided up. I want to see them cheating. I want to see how fast you can run, how high you can jump, how many home runs you can hit. Just do it all. I don't care anymore. I don't care about integrity, be damned. And,
did you expect a different take from Mike from King of Prussia?
No, I really didn't. This is pretty on point.
And here's my thing with Ben Simmons. I really hope that he doesn't make the All-Star team. And then I hope Kendall Jenner cheats on him.
Oh, come on! Michael!
Because then
that's not nice.
Then he has nothing to do but just be like, I'm not even an all-star, so I guess I gotta shoot. So, I mean, and I got broken up with and cheated on for like the 18th time. So whatever. Just go for it.
Mike, you have gone to an all-new dark place, my friend. All new dark place.
Hey, happy Friday. Happy New Year.
Oh, that's the latest Happy New Year so far we've gotten on the 17th of January.
Yeah, that was dumb.
Yeah, going down to Baltimore this weekend.
Get the hell out.
Going through a toll. The girl said, Happy New Year.
Stop it. It's almost February.
And I turned, oh my God, we just talked about on the air yesterday. But yes, she said Happy New Year.
Funny you say that, because we just talked about how dumb your people are when on air the other day.
What?
So what?
Her people.
Oh, the Happy New Year people?
The Happy New Year people.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't going to say that, Jamie. She was being
You should have. She has to know.
The bigger issue I have is that Bob went to the toll.
Well, yeah.
Again.
Oh, my God. That's
no
already
easy pass.
Been established.
That's psycho behavior.
Why are you against it?
I made it down to where I had to be, and I'm not against it.
Yeah, but you made it seven. It's probably took you 5 to 7 minutes longer.
Twice they tried to find me on something that they were totally wrong about. It's a matter of principle.
And then you call them, and you say, here's my tag number.
I've done that, James. This was years ago. It's a matter of principle. It's no big deal.
Okay, Boomer.
I don't know why I'm talking to you.
You and Anthony, you're psychos. Just get the easy pass.
Wait, Anthony doesn't have easy pass either?
No.
Why? Does everybody have easy pass, James?
The smart people do.
Does mostly everybody have easy pass?
Yes.
Okay, well then nobody's going through the pay toll, so don't worry about it.
Not at the Baltimore Inner Harbor, because that's where it backs up.
Well, I was going to the Baltimore.
Bob, how long did it take you to get to Baltimore?
1 hour and 34 minutes.
Took me 45 minutes.
I basically teleported there with easy pass.
I took a nap. And I was there. I took like a 20-minute nap, and there I was. I was like, oh, there's Eastern Ave. Cool. 610-632-0975. By the way, speaking of real sinister stuff, I did start watching the Aaron Hernandez thing last night.
Oh, how far did you get?
I didn't get far at all because I was exhausted. My cousin came over last night, my cousin Steve, and we hung out for a while, and I was just like, when he left, I was like, I'm exhausted. And I watched like 15 minutes of it, and I went to bed. But you guys were talking about the Open.
Mm-hmm.
I'll talk about that in a little bit, because it was weird. It was just, that's all I'll say about it right now.
The music was weird. Odd choice.
It reminded me of something that shouldn't when it's a murder story.
Yeah.
We'll get to that in a second. Andy in Deptford joins us. What's up, Andy?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, man.
How we going?
Good, man.
Good.
Hey, man, this weekend, man, I'm really pulling for Andy Reid and the Chiefs. I don't see how most fans in this area couldn't be pulling for the guy. I mean, you know, he won everything for us but the ultimate prize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the guy's a Hall of Fame coach. I'd love to see him go out on top. I mean, I don't even think he's going to go out after this year, but I think he's definitely deserving of it.
Now, let me ask you this, Andy. If Reed wins this weekend, if the Chiefs beat the Titans, you'll be jumping up and down, excited that Andy Reed... Like, explain to me your level of euphoria for Andy Reid.
I'm not jumping up and down, but you got to respect the man. I mean, he gave us 10-plus years of relevant football, and the time prior to him, we were probably one of the laughing stocks of the NFL. I don't forget that. A lot of Eagles fans seem to forget, you know, what he did for us and what he did for this city and this franchise. He's a great coach, man. He's a great offensive mind. Does he have his flaws? Absolutely.
Every coach does.
I'm going to tell you right now, here's my level of happiness for Andy Reid if he makes it to the Super Bowl, if he wins on Sunday. My level for Andy Reid would be like, oh, good for Andy. It's not going to be, it's certainly not going to be negative. I'm not going to be excited. I'm going to be, hey, good for Andy. Gets another shot at it. Now, I think Trey is a little bit different.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and I would understand why.
You run it out with a fist pump.
I get it.
And then, you know, if the whole process goes with the Sixers, I mean, I think at one point I thought it was to be determined. Right now, I think this whole process is a failure. I mean, you look at it. We went through all them years of tanking. What do we have right now? We got a coach that created a losing culture. We got a big man that wants to shoot threes all the time that can't stay healthy. We got a point guard that's scared to get to the free throw line, that's scared to shoot outside of 10 feet. We have Markelle Fultz. We got fleeced by Boston.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could have had Tatum. We got fleeced. We gave up assets to move up to get that bum.
Well, here's what I'll agree.
Yeah, oh, I'm not done. We had Nerlens. He stunk. We had Okafor. I don't even know if he's in the league. I mean, what has this process really done? We got Tobias Harris, a supermax contract. He's about a little above average player. I mean, where is this team going?
I still think they're on the uptick, but I will agree with you on this, Andy. I do not deem the process a success yet. Yeah. I know people get excited. Oh, look how great it is. Look what you have. Yeah, that's great. We got some players that look pretty good, but we haven't had a parade. We haven't had a conference finals. We haven't had a conference finals appearance. We have not had a finals appearance.
We haven't even got out the second
exactly.
round.
Exactly. That's why I can't call it a success yet.
Brett Brown's got to go. He don't know what he's doing.
It might be time. Andy, real quick, you want to go see Temple on Wednesday night?
I got wrestling practice for my team. I'm sorry, I can't make Wednesday.
Wait, you're a wrestling coach?
Yeah, youth wrestling.
Oh, yep. I didn't assume it was the Olympics, but I mean, good for you, man. Thanks for the call, Andy.
All right, guys.
All right, take it easy, man. No, what?
Hang on, I'm going to be Markelle Fultz down there balling and all that, though, man. Y'all start talking bad about Markelle.
He pushed LeBron James around like he was a rag doll.
Still can't shoot that well, but at least he attempts.
Yeah. I think I saw LeBron pass the torch in the middle of that game. Here you go, Markelle. The NBA is yours.
All right, I don't want to say it, but I've heard this rumor, and maybe I'll confirm it later, but the trade right now is Ben Simmons for Markelle Fultz. I don't know if it's true, but it's out there. No.
The one that's, did you see the trade rumor that the Sixers might have interest in?
I've seen a couple. Which one?
JaVale McGee? Plays in a very cold city right now in Minnesota.
Oh, Kevin Love? Oh, not Kevin Love. Jeez.
Roko.
That's still it's going still, out there?
Still floating around.
I saw
out
it
there.
Like 2 weeks ago. It was the first time I saw it. What are we doing? You want to talk about
bad rumor. Let alone a bad trade. It's a bad rumor.
You want to talk about my brain fell asleep? Alex Lyon saying that last night after the flight. Robert Covington is the all-time worst quote I've ever heard in the history of humanity. Of any sport ever. I'm not off. My shot's just not falling. What? My brain fell asleep when that was said by Robert Covington during the playoffs 2 years ago. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
With all that said, he's a good defender. But here's what we're talking about. I want to get into this a little bit later, maybe the top of the hour. The comments to Ben Simmons' campaign for making the All-Star team are just as great as you would assume they would be from Philadelphia sports fans. Always the truther. Always the people putting out exactly how they feel. The thing I always love about this city is that you know exactly where they stand. A lot of the outsiders that visit Philadelphia often, they say that all the time. They say that this is a city of honesty, blatant honesty. Philadelphia is the city that tells you, yes, those pants make you look fat. We're the people that tell you got the boogie in your nose. We pass that best friend test, if you will, time and time again. So the Ben Simmons comments are right up that alley.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you think Ben Simmons should be an All-Star this year, I don't think you're quite being honest with yourself.
I am willing to acknowledge what a great defender he's been. I'm willing to acknowledge that he's been maybe more aggressive than we've seen him through longer stretches of a game, but still not four quarters. Unless it's the Cavs, you haven't really seen it. I need to see more of it from Ben. And look, I think he can be that player. I think he can be a perennial All-Star. But he is in this comfort zone right now that he's just not willing to take a step out of. And that's not just shooting jumpers. That's also a guy that is refusing to give himself more spacing as a point guard, as a facilitator. He is refusing to give himself more spacing, refusing to give his teammates more spacing, and he's, I think, cheating his teammates out of a better version of himself. And that ultimately is unforgivable. I need to see more of it from Ben, especially late in games.
Yeah, he's had some fire in the first half of the past couple of games that make you think, oh, man, he's going off for 40 tonight. And then for some reason, that kind of dies down in the second half, whether it be a scheme that's implemented by the other team of just backing off in the lane. But again, go to the Giannis Antetokounmpo numbers from last night. Everybody defends him the same way. He got up 22 shots. He got 20 foul shots. He only made 10. He took 5 3-pointers. Didn't make one. But he's keeping defenses honest by at least attempting them. I really think Ben Simmons has to start going that route a little bit more.
I don't think there's, like, look, it goes beyond the jump shot argument that we're all tired of. It's the late in game stuff, man. It's like you can ice a game with your defense, but what about when your team is trailing and you need to make those points? Mm-hmm. You need to make that happen. You're only helping yourself if you're at least a threat to shoot from 10 feet away from the basket.
Yeah.
All point guards want that spacing. They want room to create. Ben's not helping himself by not creating that spacing.
I just look at opposing defenses and I think, like, what is going through their heads when they face the Sixers? And I think one of the first ones, after Embiid probably, but one of the first ones is, oh man, I don't want him running with a full head of steam down the lane. Meaning Ben Simmons. Mm-hmm. Like, I still don't think that's stoppable. I really don't. I think the only person that stops it is Ben Simmons himself. So he gets ahead of, you know, he gets a full steam ahead. I'm sorry. I don't think there's anybody in the league that can stop him getting to the rim.
But the problem is everybody like, all right, go ahead and do that for the first half.
Yeah, and then they back off on it. But, yeah, I still think he can attack better in the second half.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Coming up, Aaron Hernandez. Now, Trey, you finished the series?
Yes.
All right. And Jamie, you finished like in one night?
Yeah.
Bob, have you got into it at all?
No, but I do want to do it this weekend. I was going to do it Monday on our day off.
I'm on the third episode. I didn't finish.
Oh, you're on the third episode?
Yeah.
This is something that does not go with a murder series, but I'll tell you exactly what the opening credits, whatever you would call it, opening sequence. This reminded me of something that should not at all be in a murder series. Time of the Fanatic, 740.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. The Fanatic.
Coming up 9 o'clock, we'll speak to Jack McCaffrey of the Delco Times about the little back and forth he had with Ben Simmons before the season about not shooting jumpers, and Ben responding with, well, I'm an all-star, so I guess I'm doing okay, basically.
So step off.
Yeah, so why don't you shut your mouth?
Step off, George.
Yeah. Step off.
You told him to step off? That's so cool.
This is so cool. Wait, I'm losing the... What is
Seinfeld.
That? Thank you.
Dan Cortez. That's the great right. Dan Cortez.
That's right.
You want some sandwiches,
Tony?
I brought
a sandwich, yeah.
I got chicken salad and tuna salad.
I heard you like chicken salad. Anyway.
Hey, Tony.
Oh, Tony. All right.
Yeah, every day you can make Seinfeld reference.
Rabbit hole.
And by the way, Curb Your Enthusiasm back on Sunday.
Yeah. Hey,
yeah, it is. That's right.
I have a full weekend now.
Yeah.
We were just talking about our weekend.
Three-day weekend.
Sunday's a great couch day, man.
Yeah,
conference championship Sunday.
People are coming to meet on Sunday.
Ah, that's
meet little Tuts.
Little sweat.
What do you got? Family coming?
My cousin was over yesterday, and then my other cousin's coming over on Sunday. Not that one. This is the other side of the family. The Polish people are staying in Baltimore. The Italians are plentiful in Philadelphia, and the Italian side.
The important
over.
Question is: are they close enough that you can get away with wearing sweats all day?
Yes, okay. Definitely.
Good.
100%.
Wait, do you have people that come over that you think you have to put on, like, nice
some
pants
family
for?
Members that you don't see very often? Uh-huh. Like, you don't want to look like a slob?
Huh. My one cousin I hadn't seen in, like, a year came over to meet the baby. I wore a suit.
But if it's close family, you just...
Not true. I wore khakis and a black shirt. And it was not buttoned down.
But it was not sweats.
I made an effort.
You can look nice in sweats.
Says the guy wearing sweats.
But it's so easy to look like you're a lunatic.
24/7.
Yeah, right. But here's the thing. It's so easy to look like a lunatic as a new parent. It's like people will look at you and be like, oh, that guy doesn't know what he's doing. Get that baby out of there.
So what, if you have on sweats?
Yeah.
You're gonna think, you're overwhelmed? Yeah. All you could do today was throw on sweats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Oh, well.
So anyway, speaking of lunatics, Aaron Hernandez. There's that new Netflix series. Is it three parts? We covered this, right?
Yeah, it's three parts. Yes.
Trey, you're done. Jamie, you're done. Bob, you haven't started.
Yeah,
I got about 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes out of it. Here's what I'll say about it. I used to think, and now following the story and reading the articles that have come out even before this Netflix series, I thought originally, Trey, as you and I were talking about before the show, I thought Aaron Hernandez was just a guy that couldn't leave a bad life behind him even when he made his $40 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that guy just couldn't leave that life, man. He wanted to be that type of street guy instead of being an all-pro NFL tight end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, that's stupid. But in reading the articles and following the case and now at least watching the first 20 minutes that brought a lot of that stuff back to memory, it's like, no, that guy was just messed up.
Yeah.
Like, that guy was just a bad seed. Like, there's no leaving that behind when that's just you.
Yeah.
Like, you are going to go wherever you are.
Yeah, maybe if you're on the West Coast, probably would have helped him.
West Coast.
Just getting away from, because he's from Bristol.
Right.
So you're right back up in that same little area. It's only a 2-hour drive, so.
That's what one of his best friends was saying. Like, of all the places for him to get drafted, it had to be a place that was a 2-hour drive from home.
It's wild. I'll tell you what I still can't get over because it was so disturbing. And good on them when making the series for doing this, because I don't think it's any accident. But the opening sequence, I know what you were saying yesterday about the James Bond thing, because there's a gun that fires off in slow-mo bullet coming out of the chamber and all that stuff, or out of the front of the gun, whatever, nozzle. And it's just like, what the, that's weird. But then the music the whole time is like this kind of cheery, dreamy sequence type of music. Mm-hmm. I half expected it goes like da, 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 da. And then I half
it's
expected
like a Mad Men too. Do you know
a little
Mad
bit
Man
of Mad Men?
Yeah.
But there's also a hint, Jamie, that sounds like it's about to go like when you wish upon a star. And I'm like, what the hell? I'm like waiting for Jiminy Cricket to come out and tell me Aaron Hernandez murdered people. It was that weird.
Jiminy Cricket coming to your two minds.
That's what it sounded like. It
thing.
Sounds like Disney.
Like, but when he said that, it's like,
really?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, all right. It does sound weird.
I will say this, it has a Disney hue to it.
That's weird.
The music to it does not match the story.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jamie,
it's kind of a deep, dark story, and Disney isn't naturally deep and dark.
Well, they did kill Bambi's mom.
Yeah,
multiple parents have been murdered by Disney.
Yeah, she wasn't a good mom.
She wasn't a good mom? What the hell?
I mean, who tells their kid if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything at all?
Wasn't that Thumper?
I don't know. Whatever.
Have you ever seen Bambi?
Yeah, did you see
Who's Bambi?
Bambi?
Is Bambi the one with Scar, the Uncle Lion?
I think she'll be at the cornhole after party.
Well played. Will in South Philly. What's up, Will?
How you guys doing today?
Good, man.
I just have two comments. One is about Andy Reid.
Okay.
And I can care less whether he wins or lose because he sold us out. I don't care what he's doing in Kansas City. About the Eagles.
How did he sell you out, Will?
Well, because the Super Bowl.
He didn't win a game that he coached, so he sold you out?
Yeah, he did. You know, my thing is, getting to the NFC Championship is fine, but we need a ring. We needed a ring bad.
Mm-hmm.
And to get there and not be able to control the clock, let McNabb do whatever he did, and then get rid of T.O. the next year because McNabb did do what T.O. said he did, I don't know, man. That kind of left a sour taste in my mouth. But that's just me.
Okay.
You know, and I just want to touch on Ben Simmons.
Okay, for it. Yes.
He's a lockdown defensive player and leads the league in steals.
Yep.
Does he have to be able to do everything?
Well, when you're pretty damn good at just about everything and you ignore one part of your game that's supposed to be one of the most basic parts of the game, probably the most basic part of the game, then yes, you would have to be at least willing to do the other part. I don't need him to be Steph Curry. I don't even need him to be Tobias Harris in terms of a mid-range game. I just want him to entertain the idea of shooting a jump shot.
Right, but if he's going to give you everything else, can you get a little break with it?
No.
If he gives you that defense, no.
No, absolutely not.
So you think leading the league in steals is all-star worthy?
No, not just leading the league in steals, being able to lock people down on defense.
So you think he's an all-star?
I think he's an all-star just because he can't shoot. Doesn't make him not an all-star.
Yeah, but it's not just the fact that he can't shoot. It's the fact that he won't shoot.
Well, he doesn't shoot because he can't shoot. That makes sense.
Yeah, I rather... Well, thanks for the call. I rather a guy that's being more like Giannis Antetokounmpo. Also a guy that struggles shooting, by the way. Also a guy, Bob, you've highlighted many times, even just today, a guy that is not afraid to shoot. He's at least doing it so that he can get better at it. So even a guy that's... A guy's an MVP, and he's not even content with his game. Ben Simmons made an all-star team one time, and he's content with his game. That's how it comes off. You don't want to be content when there's so when there's a great need to be better at something. I'm not asking him to shoot the lights out or anything like that. I'm asking him to just develop that part of his game to the point where other people have to think about that as a defender. So that way, hey, guess what? Hey, great point guard. Hey, guy that wants to be a phenomenal facilitator. Now you have more spacing to work with. Now guys are coming out and guarding you. Now you're 1,000 times more of a threat to score offensively, which means guys got to play closer to you, open up the spacing. Maybe you have guys open down low a little bit more than you have now. What the hell's wrong with that?
Yeah.
And by the way, go hard to the rim, make that get fouled, go to the foul line, make that shot as well. What's so difficult about this?
Yeah, and it really confuses me because I do think he's one of the most, if not the most, competitive player on that team. And I think, you know, he's a fighter. He wants to, you know, he wants to win. I think they all do, but I think he has that real will to win. And the fact that he won't accept that challenge to himself of becoming a better
97.5 The Fanatic.